About 4 weeks ago, Barney gave a study, and his Tuesday night study, and afterwards, there was a conversation that took place that, let me turn my sound down, that got kind of interesting because the guys that was talking just kind of hinted at the fact about how in Galatians that if any man preach any other gospel than you have received, let him be accursed, and was saying that, kind of hinting at Barney, that Barney was kind of touching on something that he shouldn't be touching on. At least that's the way I took it anyway. And, you know, right off the bat, I said to myself, well, hey, all the Gospels are very dispensational in their nature as well. And I thought, I think I'll kind of look into that because, the more I look at it, the more that I can see that, the different Gospels are dispensational in their teaching and who they're for and such as that. I wanted to do that, and the Greek form gospel is 2089, and it's a euangelion, and it's the same from the same as 2097, euangelizo, and it also derives from 2095 and 32, which is angelos and eu. So it's glad tidings. That's what it's predominantly spoken of, is the glad tidings, which is the gospel, or to declare, to bring, especially an angel that comes from the angelos, by implication, or from an angel. So when referring to the gospel as a whole, every time the gospel is used, it is given by God or an angel or Christ Himself a message. And we just came through Christmas, which is a celebration to where the United States or all Christians celebrate the birth of Christ. They might not hit the mark as far as the actual birth date or not, but in their heart, they're celebrating that Christmas, December 25th, is the birth of Christ. And later on, we can see that through some in-depth study that it wasn't actually that date, but they do celebrate Christmas, and that's the gospel, is bringing forth the birth of the Savior of the world. So that is the gospel within itself. The different gospels that we come up with is we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the gospel of the kingdom of God. We have the gospel of the kingdom. We have the gospel of the grace of God. And we have the gospel of God, the gospel of His Son, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace, gospel of your salvation, the gospel of God only, the gospel of the uncircumcision as to the gospel of the circumcision. That one reference in Galatians right there tells you it's very dispensational. So I'm going to be going over these, and not all of them tonight. It'll probably be a two-part study. But tonight I just wanted to emphasize the fact of the other fellow that spoke in behind Barney or was asking questions or giving his own statements as to the fact. I don't think he understands right division. And in doing that, you can get into a lot of confusion. I understand right division, and I stay confused anyway. So that's just my nature. But in Galatians, the topic at hand is going to be Galatians 11. And, I'm going to be going through Galatians 1, 6 through 16. But the introductory to the Galatians, the major portion is devoted to refuting and the teaching of such as would lead back the Galatians to bondage. This was Paul's message throughout his ministry, or his gospel was always about Christ, especially in Galatians. Christ, and then in resurrection. For many of them desired to be under the law, and Paul declared to them that this was a removing unto a different gospel altogether. Although there being in reality no other gospel, it was a perverting of the gospel of Christ. Apparently too ready to yield to the persuasions of Judaizers who taught the necessity of circumcision, a profound interest to all believers is the record of the apostles' reception of the gospel preached by him. For he received it not from man, nor was he taught it, but it came to him through the revelation of Christ. In verse 12. 1:12. So, I'm going to go ahead and read Galatians 1:6 through, just read because it's going to go through 16, but it says in 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, the grace of Christ is the gospel, but they're wanting to be removed because they're getting drawn back in because of these Judaizers. And in 7, it automatically says, which is not another, meaning it's not a gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Judaizers were planning or contriving a scheme for executing some purpose, particularly an evil purpose. All his ministry constantly battled with these guys. It's just Satan always battled against Christ, against believing. It's a known that once you accept Christ, you're always going to be battling against Satan. And then, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then in 9 he says it again. As we said, I say now again, if any man the other gospel unto you, anybody anti-Christian altogether. Let me start my recorder. I forgot. Here, hold on, because it might be my computer. because it's acting kind of crazy. Might be my router wanting to lag on me here. I meant to start that recording early. Let me see if it gets started. Even though it's late, you guys can put it together. Come on. It started. It's not responding. I bet it's my computer. This old Toshiba is acting up on me. Just be patient with me, guys. I'm sorry. Get that back up. Now, okay, I think I'm back on. And 9, as we said before and say it now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Because there is no other gospel but Christ. The whole of the Bible itself, from Genesis to Revelation, is Christ. Foretelling of Christ to come and fulfill the law throughout the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it speaks of the birth of the Savior, baptized into Christ to be saved, and salvation, and let's go back to 10. I'm getting kind of off here. And 10, do I now persuade men or God? Or am I seeking to please men? For if I were pleasing men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the apostle plainly says that I got my revelation of the gospel from Christ himself. If any other man try to teach you any other gospel, let him be accursed. And then in 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Well, this is Paul, and he was persecuting the church, and he was practicing the Judaic law. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited the Jews' religion above mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. That he was taught as a youth all the way up, taught from Galileo. He was to be the Pharisee of the Pharisees if he had kept on going. But God had more plans for him. He had better plans for him. And in the Jewish religion in the CB, it is uidesmos, and it's only here in Galatians where it's used both times. And here in 13 or 14, as of the Father Jehovah at the time of Christ had degenerated into the Jews' religion. So now the worship of Christ has become the religion of Christendom. And then we get to 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, the ethnos, the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So, Paul didn't need to talk to any man about what he knew from the automatic download that God, that Christ gave him, that he's been following the wrong sect, and that Christ was the one and only gospel that should be preached. And in Galatians 4, 3 through 9, so it continues on, because it also, he'll continue on with almost the same conversation with the Corinthians here in a minute. So even so, when we were children in 3, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So this is very dispensational, that we might receive the adoptions of sons, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. And in 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to end bondage? And he's almost in tears here, because he's already proclaimed to them Christ and already told them that they're not under the bondage of the law, but yet they keep following the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Judaizers, and just they're really and truly no different than modern religions who really don't know who to follow, because they don't search out the Scripture themselves, and they take somebody else's word for it. Well, when they're in front of Paul, I can see it in here. When they're in front of Paul, they're saying, yeah, I like what you're saying. I like that. But as soon as Paul leaves the town, the Judaizers are there telling them, no, you got to be circumcised to be saved. And sure enough, then I guess we will. That's the common thing, and it's still taking place today. It's been going on throughout history, and it will go on until the appearing of our Lord and Savior. That's when the rubber's going to hit the road, and those that know the Scripture and know Christ himself and follow his precepts, then that's when those that have been following the wrong teaching will see, because Christ is not going to come as a servant. Christ is going to be coming, ruling as king. And in 11, Paul says, I am afraid of you. It says of, but Paul says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul, same way that I see myself. You can tell somebody something and they understand it. You turn your back, and then the next thing you know, oh yeah, I believe the Ten Commandments are for today. I hear it all the time. So, for those that believe that the Ten Commandments are for today, I'm sorry, but you still need to get in the Word and study Galatians, if any other book, because Galatians is throughout talking about how the law was then and it's not now. In Corinthians, Paul also deals with them in the same manner in 2 Corinthians 11. 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, that's good. Says, Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy," because he's done talked to the Corinthians. "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, any as the serpent beguiled Eve throughout his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see that? The simplicity that is in Christ. It's so simple. Just know Christ is your Savior. That's all it takes. I actually seen a woman making it so hard for a child to accept salvation. Because, well, you have to do this. You have to believe the Ten Commandments. You have to do this. And what you want to just choke these people. It's simple. Just believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you are saved. Please, come on. Okay, I'm sorry. In 2 Corinthians 11:4, "For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel," here it is again, "another gospel, which ye have not be accepted, ye might well bear with him." So, you're going to be stuck with what you got. When it comes to that point, it's, like I said, it's simple. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. "But if hid," this is Paul, "it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's a beautiful gospel right there. When going through Galatians, it said pervert the gospel. Where did I say that? In Galatians 1:7. "But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Well, throughout Paul's ministry, like I said before, he dealt with this perversion. In Matthew 24:24, or let's say, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets." Now, this is not Paul. This is Christ himself saying this. But Christ is foretelling this because Christ is God. He knows the beginning from the end. And there was a lot of things he could have said, but he didn't, because it was to be told by only Paul. 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So, the very elect at that time was the circumcision. They'd been circumcised. They were the chosen of God. Now, this elect goes throughout Scripture. The body of Christ is the elect also. We're chosen from before the foundation of the world. Can the body be deceived? I believe they can. I think that breaches all dispensations and all boundaries as far as that can be deceived. In Acts 13:10, the apostle dealt with Elymas the sorcerer and said, "O fool, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Well, Paul handled that one really good. He blinded him for a season. It's a good thing about it. Paul had the power to do this. In Acts 15:1, "And certain men," now these were men that were disavowed by the apostles, "but certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And this, in Acts 15:1 here, I'm pretty sure it falls right in line with the Galatians, where Paul was dealing with them and the Corinthians. And then 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The apostle knew Satan's devices. And then 2:17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." In 2 Corinthians 4:2, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craving the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth," this is Paul, "commending ourselves to every man's consciousness in the sight of God." And in 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." That's pretty much what we could say to when we deliver the message of the mystery to somebody. If they don't see it, they're not chosen to see it. That, or it's me that's not delivering it the way it should be delivered, like some other teachers could do much better than myself. But I'm one that does better one on one. I try to think I do anyway. than with the group. Now that was the part that I was going over to, that was the perversion that the apostle constantly, or the apostles were constantly dealing with, as well as in today's time. Now, when looking at the first usage of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's basically Mark 1:1, because it's the very first part of the book. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, traditional church. specifically meant for. A lot of people don't really understand what which people. Okay, when mine starts blinking, I'm going to know that that's when it is. Let me know when you got it. Oh, got me back on yet? Okay, back now. Okay. In Mark 1:1, the first usage of the term Gospels is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, we can go back to see that the child Savior was proclaimed earlier as the child Savior of the world that was proclaimed by the prophets. As we celebrate Christmas, Christians celebrate. But an in-depth study of the course of Avia will show the rest of the story of Christ's birth, his date and place was exactly where it was supposed to be according to the course of Avia. Now in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us is given, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government in 7, the peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That is the gospel. It's in the Old Testament. This was proclaimed in Isaiah. And in what do we have in Luke? Luke 2:11-14. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." He's talking to the shepherds. The angel talking to the shepherds, saying the same exact words that Isaiah proclaimed. "Which is Christ the Lord, and he shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel and multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." That is the gospel. That is the gospel of the birth of our Lord and Savior. When we get into this dispensation, the body members gospel, we have 7 books to go through. But I'm just going to read one from Philippians and then a few from Colossians. In Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Speak as though Christ were speaking on your behalf. "That whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And in Colossians, I'm going to save that one. Let's go to Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the upon heavenlies in Christ." In 4, "According as he," Christ, "has chosen us in him," or God has chosen us in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." In 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to pleasure of his will." Not ours, but the good pleasure of his will. and 7. In whom we have the redemption through His blood, being redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And in 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and in and which are on earth, together in Him. And in 13, in whom ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after ye believed, that's all it takes is belief. Ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, until Christ redeems the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And then 22 and 23, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. In Colossians 1:5, for the hope, the gospel of the body, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. This hope, this Christ, was laid up for us in heaven before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And then you go to Colossians 3:1-4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Don't worry about any other false teachings around, which is another gospel, which is not a gospel at all. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. I hope I delivered this in a way that was edifying to you guys. When I was putting it together, I was thinking of a million wonderful things to say about it. But when it comes to doing it live, I seem to have a loss of words that I knew was going to be there for me. But to God be the glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for this day and for, Lord, those that are listening in. Lord, if there's one person that gets the gist of this message, whether it's live or whether it's listening in at a later date, I thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for them that can take this message and learn from it. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.